Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Pastor Nick and the pastors and elders here at Bridge City for giving me this opportunity. I'm honored and humbled to be able to share with you this morning. Larry and I have been members at Bridge City for 33 years. And we've attended here at the White Oak campus for about 2.5 years. We have 4 grown children, and they're married to 4 wonderful hand-chosen spouses. And we are abundantly blessed. We have 19 grandchildren. If you can believe that, hallelujah. I'm here to speak to mothers today. Not just biological mothers, but to all women who nurture and care for adults and children. I'm here to speak to the women. I know there are some of you here who you welcome your children's friends into your home. And they don't just come for the food. They come because they're loved and because they're nurtured. I'm here to speak to women like Donna Colella. I don't see her right here now. I expect she'll be here in the next experience. But she's a woman who has invested in our children at Bridge City for decades. That's no exaggeration. For decades, she has taught, she has trained, and there are others like you here today. Women like Maria Armstrong, Maria who's here every week, and I've observed her loving our kids, loving our teenagers, and investing in them. There are many of you here who are serving in those kinds of roles. I'm also here to speak to anybody who is married to a mom. Anybody here that is married to a mother. And I'm also here to speak to anybody here who knows a mother. Anybody here who knows a mother? I intend, and my prayer is that I will share some things today that will help you to be able to build up effectively, honestly, to encourage and to give those mothers some true help today. We all come to motherhood with expectations. Most of us, before we do that, we have some pictures I want to show you that might help you to understand some things. The first kid's bedroom, there it is. It's perfectly color coordinated. You like the decor. And then second child comes along. And, that child has a mattress and a blanket. Then there's those parents, how we feel. First time parent got this together, right? Then a month later, and then 4 years, and 2 more kids later. And this next picture I really identify with. I remember going into that bedroom with that sleeping child, gently laying her down in the crib, slowly raising my hands off of that ticking time bomb, trying to back away and not step on that place on the floor that you know is going to squeak and creak. And then we have a greeting from Jessica. Jessica here is 27, and she says, parenting is not stressful at all. So we all come with some expectations. Most of us, we want to be perfect parents. And we want to have perfect kids, right? But could the problem be that we're letting the culture define the word perfect and set the standard for perfection? Right. Let's look at what the Bible has to say about being perfect. Matthew 5:48 says, you are to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. What does that mean? Well, first of all, good news. The Greek word here that's translated perfect in this verse is the word teleos. Our English word telescope comes from that same Greek root word. And perfect here does not mean flawless. It does not mean I have never made a mistake. Perfect means complete and whole. It means maturity. It means You're moving towards an end. You're going somewhere. Does that sound better than that cultural definition of perfect? And I think I can strive for that kind of perfection, if that's the kind of perfection that God has for me.
Right.
You know, motherhood is one of the most amazing journeys that a woman can undertake, and it is filled with powerful emotions. Two of those emotions, one hand we have great joy, the other hand we have great guilt. And we can feel those same emotions numerous times within the same day, even maybe within the same hour. And I can remember great joy being part of my children growing and watching things like, you know, taking their first steps, seeing them learn to care for others, and eventually them realizing and understanding truth about who God is. And I can remember the great guilt after becoming sinfully angry, yelling at a toddler who was doing typical toddler kinds of things, like, you know, taking the clean laundry out of the laundry basket, throwing it around the room, sitting down and playing on it. Or we had a daughter who used to take the records. Now, pause a minute. Okay, a record. It's a round thing. It has a diameter, like 12-inch diameter. We used to use those to listen to music back in the olden days. And I had a daughter who used to take those off the rack and dump them out all over the floor. And the really good news is that God sent Jesus. So we don't have to carry that guilt any longer. There's forgiveness, even for anger. And there's God's grace that is sufficient, even those days when the frustration and the guilt are much more abundant than the joy. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about forgiveness in just a few minutes. I'm going to look at three Bible verses. There are many, many Bible verses that can help us to love our children well. And the first one is Psalm 127, verse 1. And this verse says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Now, the Lord's building, and I like to think of the Lord as the master builder. He's the one who has blueprints. He has the plans. He knows what the finished product is supposed to look at. If the Lord is the master builder, he doesn't want to just be a consultant that we contact when we have a problem. He has all the directions. Now, this verse says, if you don't do it this way, you labor in vain. Vain means empty. It means fruitless. It means pointless. And none of us, nobody wants that kind of a life. Let's look at another verse, James 1:5. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. And it says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. I remember so clearly reading my Bible and coming across that verse and finding that verse. And I remember saying, I'm going to try this out. And so I started doing that. And when I was in the trenches, you know, motherhood daily with four kids, I remember using this verse regularly and going to God for concerns when I said, I need wisdom. I don't know what to do. From issues such as, how do I potty train this little boy? To where do I put all these clothes and toys, and how do I organize things in limited space? To questions like, what's the best way to educate this daughter of ours? And let me tell you something. Every single time I went to God and I said, I need wisdom, he answered. And he gave wisdom. And it doesn't just apply to motherhood. It doesn't just apply to parenting. And I want to say, folks, give this verse a try. Try it out. And say, God, I need wisdom. And then sit back and expect that generous amount of wisdom. God will do it for you. Another verse, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her very own hands. Now, that doesn't just mean house physical structure. It means our household. And wise means diligent. It means prudent. A wise woman improves her family. Now, we all know how to tear our house down, right? We've all done it. We've all done it with our words. Maybe we've done it with our laziness, our sinful laziness at times. Maybe we've done it with the sigh, the eye roll. Let's be wise, and let's stop tearing down our house. I'm going to go over a couple of principles that can help us to build our house and help us to love our children well. First one, you can't give what you don't have. Makes sense, right? We're being called to pour out supernatural love day after day, moment after moment. The only way we're going to get that is from God. We need to be filled up with God's love. He wants to pour that love into us so we can turn around, pour it into our kids. And moms, just let me give you a little bit of information here. God's love, time with him, is even better than me time. It's even better than self-care, because God wants time to build an intimate relationship with him. How do we do that? Hey, easy way. Picking up the Bible, reading it. And, you know, I think most believers feel guilty about their devotional time, their prayer time. It's not long enough. It's not sincere enough. It's not in-depth enough. I believe God's saying, just do it. Just do it. And do the very best you can. And trust him. There are different seasons of your life. You might be in a season where I had one son who woke up way before the sun. He needed that first feeding, and then he wanted to play and crawl around and interact and laugh. So it was hard, really, really hard for me to do Bible study first thing in the morning. But that season of life didn't last forever. And, you know, if you're finding I can't read so much, most of us have one of these, and there are Bible apps. And hey, you can listen while you're washing dishes. You can listen while you're folding laundry. So read, listen to your Bible, and then worship. We have Spotify. We have YouTube. You even have a voice that you can use and worship God. Listen to podcasts. I remember back in the olden days, we used to have radios. Little, you know, rectangular things, and ours sat on our kitchen windowsill, and I used to turn it on Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m., and listen to Dr. James Dobson, and I can remember trying to get the kids settled. It's breakfast time, trying to get them all quiet, and then saying things like, will you please be quiet? I'm trying to learn how to be a better mom. Now, today, you can actually go onto the app and you can listen at any time. And, you know, Focus on the Family, Still Around, Family Life. There are lots of great, great podcasts that can help you to be closer to the Lord, to understand more. And Sunday morning worship, you're all here. This is important. Connection group should be a priority. Cultivate relationships with people who are a little further ahead on the journey than you are. I remember when we moved into our current home, and we bought a bed frame from IKEA. We chose to buy this bed frame because our son Larry and daughter-in-law Emily had the same kind of bed frame. We said, this will be great. Our bedroom's kind of small. Didn't have big closets, but this bed frame had these drawers underneath that you could store things in. So we bought this bed frame, we bought it home, and with it came these two, not one, but two books. And there are no English words in these books. There are a lot of pictures in these books. And I don't know if you look at these pictures and all these little holes and screws, they make sense to you, but they did not make sense to Larry and I. So guess we called Larry and them. We said, hey, can you come over? And they graciously did. And between the four of us, we spent many hours. But eventually, we were able to put that thing together, and it became a functioning bed frame. There are other people in your life who are a little further ahead. And go to them and say, hey, can you show me how to do this? Can you show me what to do? I've talked to many women over the past decades. And there are many women who are lonely. They want to have friends. But they think that if other people knew the truth about them, those other people would be shocked. There are lots of women who are reluctant to be honest because they think they're the only one struggling. So I have Margaret over here, and she's saying, I wish there was someone I could talk to. But what would she think if I tell her I lose my temper with my kids? And then there's Trish, and she's over here, and she's saying, I wish I had someone to talk to. But what would she think if she found out I'd lose my temper with my kids? And then there's Shirley over there, and Shirley's saying, I wish I had someone to talk to. But what would she think if she found out I lose my temper with my kids? And then she's saying, what if I'm really honest? And what if I tell her there are days I don't like being a mother? I just can't call her. And after all, that would be bothering her. See, I believe this is one of the lies that Satan uses to isolate, to separate, to defeat all of us, but especially women. And listen, women, here's the good news. We can overcome this lie. It's simple, but it's not easy. It involves talking to another woman and finding out she's going through those same struggles you're going through. And you can remind each other of the truth, and you can pray for each other. I am so thankful for those women in my life. You know, there are women that I don't have to have any secrets when I'm with them. I have women in my life that I can send a text message that says, SOS, pray for me. They know what that means, and I know they're going to pray for me. And women, we have an event coming this Friday, Girls Night, right here at this campus. This is a great time if you're saying, you know, I really wish I had more friends. I wish there were more people I could talk to. Come on Friday and give somebody your phone number and say, hey, can I chat with you? Can I text you during the week? I even hear there's going to be ice cream. So you want to RSVP. Make a point of getting out here. Mom, you need to get filled up with God's love so you can pour it out on your kids. Also be aware that love takes time. And so use your time wisely. A couple of places I was thinking, we have time. Sometimes when we're in the car, it might involve turning off your news podcast, turning off your music, and listening to your child, asking questions, just chatting with them. Mealtime. Mealtime's a good time to put your phone away, turn off the TV, turn off the iPads, sit at a table, and talk together. Talk about your day. Every week when we're here with your kids at Bridge City Kids, we give your kids a memory verse and they go over a lesson. Can you go over that with your kids during the course of the week? Can you review their memory verse with them? How about bedtime? Bedtime's a great time because most kids want to extend that a little bit. So it's a good time to talk to your kids. It's a good time to pray for them, to pray with them. I always enjoyed reading chapter books at bedtime. My favorites are the Chronicles of Narnia, and I highly recommend that. Get your priorities right, both for you and your children. You know, there may be a season of time. I remember when I had to put sewing projects away for a season because usually those sewing sessions ended with my children not playing peacefully and usually getting into my sewing supplies. But then a day came when I was able to pull those out again. Evaluate things like sports and music and home projects. We have so many good options now. But not all of those are moving us toward that finished product, that house that the Lord is building. If I could go back in time and talk to Phyllis, she was, you know, late 20s, early 30s, there are a couple things I would say to her. I'd say, first of all, relax, enjoy life a little bit more. I was very structured, very organized, sometimes too concerned about keeping everything on schedule. I would say, don't worry so much about the house, the laundry, the well-balanced meals. Laugh more, stress a little less. And I would say, avoid the comparison trap. I did learn this and I got better as I went along. But comparison usually leads us in one of two directions. It will either lead us to judging people and then into self-righteous pride. It sounds something like, I made a better decision than she did about my child's education. I would never send my kid to that school. Or, I can't believe she tolerates that attitude from her daughter. I would never allow my child to speak to me like that. Or it can lead to jealousy and covetousness. It might sound like, you know, her son scores goals in every soccer game every week. I wish my son was a better athlete. Or she has the perfect home, the perfect body, the perfect hair, and her kids are not only cute, they're smart. Why can't I have her life? Instead, we need to cultivate contentment and believe the truth. The truth may be, my son loves soccer. He has a great time. He's made new friends. He's getting good exercise. The truth may be, my daughter is unique, and she's a precious gift from God to me. Or maybe, my home is perfect for our family. My body's healthy. And I'm making changes that are going to make me even, give me an even healthier life. Might be that my kids may never be the smartest in the whole school, but they're learning and they have many unique talents. And then remember the difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation. Can go to that. Yeah, they're great. Condemnation is when we hear a voice that says, you've done it wrong, there's no hope for you. And this verse, Revelation 12:10, said, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down. The one who accuses them before our God day and night. Think about that. There is someone accusing you day and night. And too many times we listen to that voice. That's the voice of the accuser that tells us we are a lousy mother. The voice of the accuser that's telling us that we keep repeating the same sins over and over again. We're never going to have victory in our lives. The voice of the accuser that tells us that our kids are messed up because of us. That voice of the accuser tells you your kids are going to grow up and they're going to hate you. And the voice of the accuser was one of the reasons that I did not enjoy Mother's Day for many years. And, you know, I especially didn't want one of those cards that said, best mom ever, because I knew that wasn't true. But there's good news. The accuser of the brethren will be thrown down, and we have a way to respond to that voice today. And that voice, and the way to respond is to understand conviction. Conviction says you've done it wrong, and it's time to repent and change. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's righteous, so that he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's that voice of conviction that says you should not yell at your toddler for dumping the records. You should latch the gate so she can't be in the dining room unsupervised. And at an appropriate age, you should patiently teach her not to touch the records. It's the voice of conviction. The voice of the Holy Spirit says you need to go to your 10-year-old son. You need to ask him to forgive you for yelling at him, for doing poorly on his math test. And you need to take time and sit and work with him on some of those math skills. The voice of the Holy Spirit, it's conviction that says you need to get up off the couch. You need to settle that fight over the action figures and not just tell your kids that they make you crazy. So what do we do? How do we respond? Well, first of all, we confess. And listen, friends, confession is simple. It involves, God, I am sorry for, fill in the blank, be specific. Thank you for forgiving me. And then to receive that and know that you are cleansed. And once you've done that, refuse to believe the accuser of the brethren. Refuse to believe the lies the next time. So you can say, devil, and the next time he comes and he says things like, you know, you're a lousy mother because you yelled at your kid again. You don't deserve anybody to tell you Happy Mother's Day. You say, yes, devil, I was angry, and I did yell at my kid, but I have been forgiven. I've confessed that sin. I have been cleansed of all of that unrighteousness. There are a few things that I need to remind myself of now. I'm at a different place in motherhood than many of you are. My children are grown. They don't live in our home anymore. And here's a picture. It was taken last summer. That's three of our four adult children and their spouses. Our oldest son, Larry, and daughter-in-law, Emily, were not able to be there at that gathering, but they're right here in person, so you can actually see them in the flesh. And even though our kids aren't in our home anymore, I still have a role in my children's lives. We can still reinforce and remind them of the truth. My kids, they still need my love, but they need it in a different way now. Our relationship is different. It is still very, very important. What can we do? We can be fervent in prayer, and we can trust the Holy Spirit. We can be intentional through things like job changes, things like financial pressures. We can pray with and for our adult children. We can be there when possible. I remember some difficult but really precious times sitting in hospitals with adult children and being able to just be there. I can remember specifically, we've had two grandchildren who've gone through some really serious health problems that were life-threatening, and we were able to be there and be able to cry with them. We were able to pray with them. We were able to just run down to Starbucks and get them coffee. We were able to remind them of things that are true. Pray from the scriptures with your children, and I think you should all get a chance to see this next picture of, there are 17 of our 19 grandchildren. One was born since then, so he's not on that picture. And one of them was sleeping, And her mom said, and we couldn't, the older ones were going to go to work. We couldn't coordinate a time when she would be awake. They'd all be there. I have learned that when a mom says, no, she really needs her nap, you don't argue with that. So there are so many ways we can invest in the lives of these grandchildren now. Still need a lot of love. They still need us to be there reminding them. So what story do we want our kids to tell? We want them to tell a story that says, you know, when I was growing up, the kitchen floor was always so clean. But, you know, but of course, Mom didn't have time to play with me because she was so busy cleaning the kitchen floor. Is it likely that our kids are going to be proud that we always kept our spices alphabetized? And I just want to say, I mean, I still have a daughter who talks about that. And she does not keep her spices alphabetized. And whenever she comes to visit us, she makes a point of stealthily going into the kitchen at some time and rearranging them just so I know she was there. Watch, I'll watch out if next time. Do they remember that life in our home was joyful and peaceful? Or are they going to remember the time when Mom helped them through the difficult weeks after breaking up with the girlfriend that a son thought, you know, he would never love anybody the way he had loved her? What we really want our kids to remember is that Mom read her Bible and she prayed. Her faith was real. And we want our kids to desire to have a faith like that. As I wrap up here today, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about diamonds. I learned a couple of things this week as I was preparing for this teaching. I learned that most diamonds have flaws. But guess what? Those flaws don't stop them from being valuable. And I learned that jewelers look at things like called color, cut, clarity, certification of diamonds. And moms, may I suggest that you have some similarities to a diamond. Diamonds come in different colors. Moms come in different colors. Diamonds come in different cuts that affect their shape and their size. Moms, we come in different shapes and sizes. I'm told that a diamond has a certificate, and that certificate states that it is a real diamond. Moms, if Jesus is the forgiver of your past and the leader of your future, you have God's stamp of approval on your life, stating you are His authentic daughter. When a diamond reflects light, it sparkles. And when we stay in the light of God's love, we're able to build our house, we're able to reflect His glory, and we have beauty and value. To all the moms here today, let me say, stay in the light of God's love, reflect His glory. To everyone here who knows a mom today, whether a biological mom or someone who functions as a mom, tell her today that she is valuable. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done in our lives, what you continue to do. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. And help us, Lord, to build our house according to your plan.